Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. If you wish to call in and talk with me, disagree with me, agree with me, exchange comments, whatever, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The number is on the screen in front of you. Big week. They're all big weeks. A lot of crazy people out there doing crazy things. A lot of things happening that just don't make sense to me. I'm not going to bore you with a recitation about New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. He's all over the media the last few days to the point where I'm sick of turning on the television set and the talk shows. All I hear is Chris Christie. The situation's very simple. If he knew or he ordered it, he's finished in politics. That easy. If he didn't know, and I believe he might not know, that people do things who are also in authority below you because they don't want to bother the boss, and he's innocent of any knowledge, then this thing won't, it's going to be like a fly in his arm. He'll just brush it off. So much for Chris Christie. I want to talk about Jim Beam Bourbon, one of America's most famous drinks, one of the best bourbons out there. It's one of the best-selling bourbons in the world, Jim Beam. Here's what happened with Jim Beam this week. It was sold. This just happened, I think, yesterday it was announced. The company was sold to a Japanese company, Suntory Holdings, for $13.6 billion. A lot of money. Little background on this thing. The company got started in 1795 by Jacob Beam. Don't ask me why they call it Jim Beam, but Jacob Beam started it down there in Kentucky. Jacob Beam, 1795, and the Beam family has been active in the business over the years, even unto today. That doesn't mean they're the sole owners. It's a corporation. It's trading shares publicly and so forth. Suntory, the Japanese company, is going to leave the Beam family in their positions of authority in the company to run it. They don't say anything about moving the company out of this country or anything else. Let me talk about the money for a moment, though. On Friday, the stock was trading at $66.97 a share. It was bought on Monday for $83.50 a share. That's 25% more than the market said the company was worth. Immediately, the stock ran up that 25% to $83.42. So by the end of Monday, the stock was trading at only 8 cents less than the offering price. What bothers me is this. We lose our companies to our American companies to foreign countries. They go to Mexico. They go to Asia. Some have gone to Europe. This has been happening to us for 30 years. Whether it was NAFTA or a foreign country buys us, or even American CEOs, American corporations say, I can operate cheaper in Taiwan, for example, and they'll go out there and do business. And every time a company moves, we lose jobs. Now, Jim Beam is a good place to work. Would you believe their employees, it's like they were working in the auto factories before things got screwed up several years ago. They're making $20 plus an hour. They're thrilled working for Jim Beam. $20 plus an hour. Who's making $20 plus an hour in today's economy? They're doing great at Jim Beam. Will the company stay here? Will they continue to do good? Now, the company is located in Claremont, Kentucky. You know, Kentucky, one of their United States senators is Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the United States Senate. I don't understand how he could agree that this is good. He has made no comment. But I think Jim Beam's being set up so 10 years from now it won't be the company it is today in the United States. either be operating in Japan or some other foreign country. The people involved with Jim Beam, the working people, don't seem to be happy with this. I ran through their comments on the internet today, and most of them say, we're going to switch to Jack Daniels, which is another great bourbon in the United States. People not involved with the company are saying, I'm switching to Jack Daniels. I'm not happy with this. So that's the story. You should be aware. They're being bought by a Japanese company for a lot of money. No talk about moving, but they all move in the end. I can't understand this. It's not right, and I don't know how we permit these things to go on. I don't know what we can do about them. Okay, this is going to blow your mind. What I'm going to tell you now is going to blow your mind. You know, the House of Representatives decides how money's going to be spent in this country. They have the power of the purse. Now, they cut food stamps by $40 billion over a period of 10 years. $9 billion this year alone. They haven't renewed the law that permits the unemployed to receive $300 a week. They're still screwing around with it today in the Senate. The Senate may not be able to get enough votes to pass it. We don't know what the House is going to do. This is the same House of Representatives that voted for the shutdown, you know, took baby milk away from babies, took milk away from babies, did away with school lunches, want to cut Medicare, want to cut Social Security, want to cut Medicaid. But they spend the money. Not a penny gets spent unless the House of Representatives approves. Well, you know what they did? They approved the study, not for a lot of money, only $224,000. Still, it's a lot of money. Those people who aren't getting $300 a week, that's a lot of $300 in $224,000. They authorized a study for $224,000. They're studying custom-fit condoms. You heard me. Right now, apparently, we have condoms we sell in this country. One size fits all. They have small, medium, and large, I guess, at best. But basically, it's one size fits all in our country. They want custom-fit condoms because they think it will be better for the people in this country because they'll be more comfortable, more men will use them, and this will cut back on the STDs. I think everybody's crazy, by the way. So here they are. They want to find, this is the language, the perfect fit condom, okay? And so the National Institute of Health awarded the $224,000 grant to a Georgia-based condom company to create condoms for every size and shape. The game plan, you're going to laugh when you hear this, is to create condoms, make condoms in 95 different sizes. You heard me, 95 different sizes. My God, shirts, pants, dresses, skirts, shoes, none of them have 95 sizes. But we're going to have 95 sizes, perhaps, in condoms. What's Lewis saying? What a waste of money. A disgusting waste of money. This had to be some kind of political patronage. Whoever was involved in Georgia wanted to give some money to this condom company, who probably gave company to the politician, and they piss away $224,000. There was a study done, and the numbers were released this past week, concerning congressional wealth. Congressional wealth. Are you aware that for the first time in history, first time in the history of the United States, more than half of our congressmen are worth in excess of $1 million. That's right. More than half of our congressmen are worth in excess of $1 million. Now, the study didn't say if there were millionaires when they went to Congress. I have to believe that a good number of them were not millionaires when they went to Congress, but they became millionaires once they were in Congress, because after all, lobbyists come, they want special laws passed, These people end up knowing what stocks to buy, what real estate to invest in. I don't know. I'm not saying they do wrong. I think they do wrong, though. I suspect it. How can they become millionaires with a fixed income? They do make $170,000 a year, a lot of money to most people, but you don't become a millionaire on $170,000 a year when you're living $170,000 a year. So something stinks, because now more than half of them are worth in excess of $1 million. The whole intent when our forefathers set up the Congress was that these men would go to Washington for a short period of time to run the country and then go back home and farm, as they did before, because everybody was a farmer back in the late 1700s. It was never intended that men would get rich. It was a sacrifice to represent your country back in the early days. But men made the sacrifice because they felt a strong obligation to do so. It's different today. I think people run for office generally with their eyes open and their pockets open because they want to get them filled. All right. Remember Richard Nixon? Richard Nixon was our president back in the 1970s. He got impeached. He is the only, we had another president who was impeached. We've had two, Johnson and Clinton. But Nixon resigned. Nixon resigned from office because he was impeached. And just let me tell you what happened here. One of the articles of impeachment, one of the charges against him, had to do with electronic surveillance of private citizens. Listen to Lewis, electronic surveillance of private citizens, which was considered subversive to constitutional government. Subversive to constitutional government, electronic surveillance of private citizens. He was bugging telephones. He was bugging conversations in his office. He was bugging conversations elsewhere. Well, what's happening today? We've got the National Security Agency, an arm, a branch of the United States government. And with the blessings of Congress and with the blessings of the president, they're bugging your telephone and mine. They're bugging your emails. They're bugging the Prime Minister, Angela Merkel of Germany. They bugged the President of Brazil. What are we doing? This is absolutely absurd. I can't believe we can use all that information. I don't care how sophisticated the computers are, how sophisticated the machinery is. I don't know how they can put all this information together and use it effectively. So they got Nixon for this. That was one of the charges against him. All right, electronic surveillance, subversive constitutional government, and I think today's surveillance is wrong. I think it's improper, and I'm hoping in due course it'll be found unconstitutional. The cases are on their way to the United States Supreme Court. I don't know, though, because we're beginning to live in a wacky country, my fat friends. We've lost the middle class over the last 20 years. We have all this kind of surveillance. The people in influence and power in Washington don't want the people out of work to get any money. They take milk away from babies. This all sounds funny, and I'm smiling as I say it, but it's true. True. Okay, which brings me to, I believe that very few of us, you, I care, and I think some of you care, but I don't think that enough people in this country care that we're losing our basic freedoms in this country. I hear so much, and it revolts me, I've got nothing to hide. Let them bug my telephone. Let them bug my emails. What do I have to hide? And when it comes to testing, drug testing, welfare recipients in some states, they should be tested. And when an employer drug tests his employees, no one gets upset and excited. These employees, these unions should fight like hell. If the person's a druggie, let them go to work. The first time they screw up, you fire them. You don't make en masse a bunch of people, 1,000, 2,000 people working at a plant to periodically be drug tested, pee in a cup. What an insult to the integrity of the individual American. And this bothers me, tremendously. And I think they should bother you. What about strip searches? Who the hell ever heard of a strip search even 10 years ago being done in the volume they're being done today? You've heard me talk about police officer in Milwaukee for 3 years. He's stopping people purportedly for speeding and putting his hands between a woman's legs or between a man's legs and his finger up the butt, claiming he's looking for drugs, all right? Men and women who have been arrested and the cops think they've got drugs, and they end up not only get the finger up the butt, they end up taking enemas, having enemas forcibly given to them in front of medical staff and police, and then they have to sit on the toilet bowl or wherever and defecate in front of the staff and the police so they can investigate the stools for drugs. Nobody gets upset. You say, well, it isn't me. Well, it's you that can be stopped someday. And a cop's going to say, that looks like a druggie, or I think that person's a druggie. Or maybe the cop's just perverted and he wants a cheap feel. And then you got somebody's hand up your butt. But you don't care because it can happen to you. It can happen to you. It is. Things like this are happening to you. It's cumulative. You don't care. We used to be known as a capitalistic society. Capitalistic society. You know, you worked, you made money, everybody was happy, we had a good life. Well, the capitalism today is only taking care of the 1%, not the 99%. The middle class is totally gone. And I think, I got to say this this way, listen to what I'm going to say, that we're moving from capitalism to socialism because our government is beginning to behave like the government of Soviet Russia 25, 30, and 40 years ago. I believe we're going from capitalism to socialism, and our government is behaving like that of Soviet Russia going back 30 or 40 years. Think about it. We know that while the economy sucks, it doesn't suck for the 1%. Who am I talking about? Bank presidents, bank CEOs, insurance company CEOs, and the presidents and CEOs of major corporations, national and international. Some of these bankers, and remember the banks brought our economy down because of the mortgage frauds, some of these bankers, they get paid $4 or $5 million a year. That's nothing. They get bonuses of $20 to $40 million a year. It's documented. $20 to $40 million 1 year for a bonus, okay? Well, we're not the only country in the world that has these problems. France has them too. You know, it's tough. They don't have enough employment. People are making less money. They got a lot of people out of work. The French passed a law last year, and their highest court about 2 weeks ago, said this law is okay, it's constitutional under our law. And here's what they did in France, and I love this. Any CEO, any head of a company who is earning in excess of 1 million euros a year, that's about $1,300,000 in our money, 1 million euros a year will be taxed 75% of that amount. Of whatever he's being paid, 75%. But they really rub it in because what they do is they don't force the CEO to pay it. They force the corporation to pay it. So the corporation takes a double hit. Now, I think that's pretty smart. I don't agree with many things they do in France, but I think this is an act of brilliancy. And let me ask you this. Do you think what we tax people is part of our tax laws, which have to be passed by Congress? Can you imagine? I don't care whether they're Democrats or Republicans. I know the Republicans wouldn't do it. I doubt that even the Democrats would do it. Can you see us passing a law in this country that anyone making in excess of $1 million will be taxed 75% of that amount? No way in this country. We don't have the testicles to do something like that, to bring this craziness in salaries under control and start paying attention to the people that don't have enough to get along. You recall back when our 2 years ago, we were going through this recession. We couldn't pay our bills on time. We could pay our bills on time, but the Republicans wouldn't pass enough money, wouldn't approve to pay the bills, and they delayed. And the rating companies, they lowered our rating so that when we borrow money, they lowered us from what? AAA to single A and double A. When they did this, it means that every time we buy a dollar, instead of paying 3 cents in interest, now we had to pay 5 cents in interest. It costs us more money. Standard & Poor's this past week downgraded the European Union. The European Union is all these countries that are working with the euro. Germany's their leader. And they dropped and they got money. The European Euro's got money. They loaned the countries that are going under, like Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Turkey. These companies were all loaned money by the Euro Union, which is a conglomerate of all the companies. And the leader in this, and the one who's got the most money into this thing, is Germany, because they've been state solvent. They dropped the credit rating of the Euro Union from AAA to AA. Now, that's not nice for somebody or something as big as the Euro Union. Why did they do it? You know what they said? They said, we're worried that the Euro Union isn't going to be able to collect the money from the countries that owe them the money, like Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, because there's unrest in these countries. There is unrest. There's protests, demonstrations. You got a Nazi party fighting over there in Greece. And war could occur. And if war occurs, the Euro Union won't get paid back. So we're dropping them 1 point, and we'll look at it again next year. That's how things go. Last Tuesday, 1 week ago, the Florida Supreme Court ruled. A federal judge in Orlando, Mary Scriven, ruled that the Florida law requiring welfare recipients to be drug tested. You're going to be on welfare, you got to pee in a cup to make sure you're not using drugs. And you're going to do this periodically. Isn't that wonderful? You're going to pee in a cup. You're broke. You're out of work. You got to feed the kids. You got to pay the mortgage. You got to go on welfare. You can't help it. You can't even pay rent. Forget the mortgage. But you got to pee in a cup to make sure you're not using drugs, because Governor Scott says we got to do this. We don't want these bums on welfare who don't want to work, not realizing they can't work, most of them, because there are no jobs out there. Thought this was proper to do. And make a long story short, the judge says, no way, this federal judge. She said there is no pervasive drug problem among welfare recipients, okay? And that requiring them, mandating a class of people, they could say all the Elks are going to do it, or all the members of the Knights of Columbus have to be drug tested. You can't do this in this country. Say to a group of people, an organization, a mass of people, you must be drug tested, because without a search warrant, individually, you can't do this. To a group, it hasn't been done, okay? And violates the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, illegal search and seizure. God bless this woman. Now, what I found amusing in this whole thing, because the state of Florida is saying, hey, these druggies, they're pretty well infected. You know, they use drugs all the time, and it's going to show. Well, there was only one study on whether welfare recipients percentage-wise use more drugs than everyone else. And it happened to be a study done by the state of Florida, 1998. It's called the Demonstration Project. demonstration project, and the federal judge says this is the only competent evidence of record addressing drug use by any Florida recipients, and it held that there was a lower rate of drug usage among welfare recipients than the population of Florida as a whole. She found, again, there was no pervasive use of drugs by recipients of welfare. And just a second, I'm looking at my notes here. There was one other thing I wanted to share with you. Oh, in 2011, the state of Florida keeps records on how many of the welfare applicants turned out to be druggies based on the drug testing, pee in the cup. And you know what the state data showed? Of the 4,086 people tested, 4,086 persons tested, 108 proved positive for drugs. Out of over 4,000, only 108 were using drugs. This got ridiculous. It proves the point again. The state of Florida is condemning a group of people for being poor. The American Civil Liberties Union of Florida had a good comment after the judge's decision. The court is sending a message to politicians that they are not going to be allowed to treat poor people. They have no constitutional rights. So that's the story. Governor Scott has said, however, that the state of Florida is appealing. I say good luck. The state of Florida's going no place on this issue. Which brings me now to, and this bothers me, and I think it bothers you also. I have been saying almost every week on this show, I try to say it every week on my television show, very simply, that in our country, the United States of America, there is one school shooting every 11 days, one school shooting every 11 days. Well, it happened today, as most of you know, again. In Roswell, New Mexico, a 12-year-old student, 12 years old, went into the classroom and shot two of his fellow students, a 14-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. One is in critical condition. One is in serious condition. This kid's only 12 years old. He's a seventh grader that went in shooting in a classroom. When are we going to learn in this country? When are the people of the United States, I'm not saying get rid of guns, but put proper restrictions and rules and regulations on this. And don't say you can't take away my rights. Nobody's trying to. It's in the Constitution. Though I sometimes think we need a new Constitution, and this is one of the reasons why. But let's do whatever's necessary. These are our children who are being maimed, injured, and killed. Okay. Which brings me just about to the end of the show. You're aware, because I've told you about this last week and the week before. I talk about it in my blog. I write about it in my newspaper column and on the TV show. I wrote a book. It got published about 5 or 6 weeks ago, The World Upside Down. If you enjoy listening to what I talk about here on this show, the book is a series of essays I wrote which talk about these things, but a little bit longer each one. There's 32 essays in there on just about everything in which I express my opinion, which you can agree with or disagree with. Buy the book. If you enjoy this show, you will enjoy the book, The World Upside Down by Louis Patron, Key West Lou. You can buy it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can buy it as an ebook or a soft cover paperback. What more can I tell you? I've enjoyed being with you tonight. I'm glad you joined me. I look forward to talking with you next week. Goodbye.